You know, before we get started with the message, I just want to read from the scriptures, which is in your bulletin, 1 John 4:10. It says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." It just, for me, as I was reading that, one of the sentences really made sense, because not that we loved God, that we are saved. I was thinking about that, and I was preparing. The Lord put it into my heart of the song which we have sung as little kids, which is, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Let me tell you a little bit of story on that. Did you know that it was written by two sisters? Their names were Anna and Susan Warner. And Anna was a writer who wrote novels. And while she was writing a novel by the title of Say and Seal, that was the title of this novel. And in that novel, what she had was a little boy who was dying. So as she's sat down to write that novel, she felt she needs to do something which would be uplifting for the little boy. And so she went to her sister and said, "Susan, would you compose something I can put it in the novel which would encourage this boy?" It all sounds so interesting because it's a novel. And the sister really sat there and wrote this song. It was a poem when it was written in 1860. You know, it was not a song. It was not something which we knew, but it was for that little boy in a make-believe novel. But she was so enthralled in what she was writing, she really wanted it to be special. And let me read that to you. It is really four stanzas which goes with the poem. But we normally sing the first part and that's it. And so we do not get the gist of what it is by not doing it. So let me read. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." The second one goes like this. "Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in." It makes a lot of sense when you think about the story and how she is helping this little boy to see Jesus in his vision and the opening of the gate of heaven for Jesus to welcome this little boy. And then she goes on to say, Jesus loves me still. In spite of what I'm going through, Jesus loves me. When I am very weak and ill, from his shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. I mean, my vision is, as I look up to that song, as I read it, you know what? I see Jesus getting out of his throne and looking at that little boy who is very, very sick. He walks over to him and tells him, yes, you might be weak, but I am strong. You know, as you read through that, you see, and then you sing again, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. He's prepared a home for me. And someday, his face I will see. It makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? But you know what? As I was reading through that, as I was thinking, many of us have lost us that childish way of looking at how much Jesus cares for me. Because we are so bombarded by all the things which are outside coming towards us, and we forget how much Jesus loves us, how he walks away from his throne to hold each one of us in his arms. He knows every one of us are weak some way, but you know what? He loves us enough. He stepped off from his heaven to come down, knowing fully well what is going to happen to him when he comes down as a little baby at Christmas time, to the day when he is on the cross. King of Kings left his home. Why? He loves me. He loves you. And we need to remember that, not just in passing. So I asked Effie if she would play the song. I want you to sing with it. All right? Sing with us. And I just want to read the first part of it. Okay? Let us remember what it actually means. To sing,
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus.
That's a simple faith which we need to have. Simple faith. As we were getting ready this morning, I went to my daughter and said, would you sing that song? And I started to sing. And she says, Daddy, I remember you singing that to me when I was a little girl, when I was a baby. You know what? Most of us remember that, and we have sung that song to our children, our grandchildren, and watched them sing. You know, when they sing, they literally believe Jesus loves them. Sometimes, as we become adults, we tend to forget that. Let me tell you a story with this, a real story which happened part of my life. I used to work at a place for people with disabilities at a camp. And there, I met a boy named David. He had Down syndrome. And he was in my cabin, and I was his counselor, taking care of David. I tell you, David was a handful, you know? But when I started singing, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," he would get very attentive. And I used to sing that with my cabin just before going to bed every night with them. And you know what happened? That David took to heart what he heard. So he went home and would sit in his porch every day and sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And he sang that every day. And in that little town in Ohio, there was a pastor who used to take walks where David lived. He did that every day. And as a pastor, one day was very down. He was feeling like there is nothing he could do. And what happened was, as he was down and walk and coming down, he was discouraged. He came to David and he stopped and heard David sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." He stood there and listened to David sing. And afterwards, he stopped David and said, "David, tell me, do you know what that means?" And this little boy with Down syndrome said to this pastor, "Sir, I learned that song at camp. And they told me, it doesn't matter what it is, what I'm going through, Jesus still loves me." And this pastor listened to it, and he was so encouraged, he went home. The next Sunday, he stood up and shared how David believed those words of that song. And you know what happened? The Spirit of God came on that church. And that day, there was revival in that church. They were a small congregation. But for the first time, the pastor said, "You know what? I was so discouraged, and I, as an adult, was worried about all the things of a church which going through. But when David was singing, he was authentic, and he believed that Jesus loves him in spite of what he's going through." And it inspired me, and I've been praying that for our church and for me. And that day, the revival started. How do I know all these things? I know it because the following year, David was in my cabin again. His brother, the pastor, walked up to me and said, "Shaker, do you know David revitalized this church by a simple belief that Jesus loves him. And I am better off because of what David taught me that day. And I tell you, every time I think of that song, I think of David and the church which is flourishing today in Ohio. People may not have thought, what could a Down syndrome boy, David, could do? But you know what? God can do mighty things if we believe that song as it says, Jesus loves me. And as I read this story and I shared it with you, this was not even a real story, but it was something this lady made up. And today, if I can say this, most Christian families sing that song, Jesus Loves Me. And one little other thing I want to add to that is most of us know and remember John F. Kennedy. And his boat was capsized in the South Pacific. And he and his crew, PT-107, I think that's what it is. His boat capsized and he fell. He and his crew went to this island. And the people in the island do not speak English. But they didn't know how to communicate. You know what they did? They started to sing the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, in their own language. And that's how they got together and brought John F. Kennedy back home. What I'm trying to say here, as I read to you, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's found in 1 John 4:10. We tend to forget sometimes because the world and other things come along and squish it, what the truth of the word is. In spite of me, God loves me. In spite of all the things I have done, God loves me. If I can see that every single day, it makes a difference. It makes a difference to us because he did that. And I want to read one more scripture and we're going to go for communion. That's again found in your bulletin. I want you to read that with me. And when I read, it says, don't you have homes to eat? It is found in 1 Corinthians 11:22 to 34. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. For a few minutes, I want you to look into that passage. Here is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And the very first thing he talks is, don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. In other words, it comes across and he is telling those people at the church in Corinth, I'm ashamed of you. I'm not too pleased with you. You know what? You're not taking the Lord's table seriously. He was bold enough to say that because he felt the people were not doing what Jesus wanted them to do. You know, early church, as you read in Acts chapter 2, they met, they broke bread, they went into the Word of God, and sang songs. It was a serious thing for them, for the church, to do that. They literally, it says, over the centuries, they used to do it every single day, so that, I don't know whether I saw this or not, but in the church where I was, one of the things which we put in our communion table was in remembrance of me. In other words, what you're doing is to remember what I did for you. I gave up my life. I was insulted. I was put on the cross. I was beaten. I was the Son of God. I didn't have to do that. But I did because, Shaker, I love you. Put your name in there. I love you. I went to all this because I loved you. I got off the throne and walked down into the world you live in. And I was insulted. And they told me I was the son of Satan. They do not realize I'm the God who made you. But I went all this. Why? Because I loved you. I'll be willing to do anything. That's why the Last Supper when Jesus had with his disciples. And you can find that in the references I have given in the bulletin. And also in three Gospels you read in Matthew chapter 26 verses 20 to 30. Mark chapter 14, 23 through 26, Luke chapter 22, 14 through 19. Jesus personally sat in front of those people. It was a private dinner with his disciples. But you know what? He wanted to emphasize the importance of the communion to them. Because later on, as you read in the Gospel of John, John writes, we did not understand what he was doing that day. This was John, who was one of the favorite disciples of Jesus. He didn't understand what Jesus was saying about this communion when he said, this is the last time I'm going to do with you, but there is hope. I'm coming back. I'm sitting with you and having this dinner, but I want you to remember one part which is so important, this bread and this wine represents me, my body, and my blood, so that you take it in as a symbol of me living in you. And you will have the spirit of me living within you. But don't give up hope. Because further down the road, in the three passages I said, he did say that I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get you back to be with me in heaven. You know, that's the hope why we are here this morning. Because we are going to be into the house of God one day. If we know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, which I assume each one of us are, I'm excited. I get excited because I know one day I'm going to be in the presence of the King of Kings. And he's actually going to escort me into his throne room, as we read in Revelation. You know, can you imagine you and I walking down and Jesus sitting on the throne of God, the one who created us, and he's going to say, Shaker, I'm so excited that you're here. I loved you in spite of what you were. In spite of you, I gave my life. I shed my blood. I accepted the insult because I loved you. And today I'm so thrilled to see you walk towards my throne because I want you to be part of my kingdom. And you know something else? He tells me that I am a heir to the throne. Just imagine that. We may not be something today in the world we live in, but you know what? In God's kingdom, you and I are the prince and the princess of the King of Kings. As you walk out today, I want you to feel like your head up, because you're a princess. You are a prince of the King of Kings. There's nothing short of it. And that's what we're going to partake today. Let us remember that. What we are doing. What we are doing is we are looking forward to that day to be in his presence and sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I am a prince. I am a prince. Just on the side, let me tell you in on a secret. My mom always told me every day, Shaker, you are the Prince of Wales. She always said that. You're the Prince of Wales. You're my prince. I tell you, that was the most encouraging thing I could hear from my mom every single day. Because I put my chin up and walked out that I am a prince. You know what? Today, you need to have that same feeling because you are the princess of the great king. You are the prince of the great king. And nobody can take that away from you.